Harihi Om. Sahana Vavatu, Sahana Bhunaktu, Sahavirayankaravavahai, Tejasvinavadhitamastumavidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Om Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 16, The Lord's Attempt to Go to Vrindavan. Verse 216, 239 to 241. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, "Within your heart you should keep yourself very faithful, but externally you may behave like an ordinary man. Thus Krishna will soon be very pleased and deliver you from the clutches of Maya. You may see me at Neelachal Jagannath Puri when I return from visiting Vrindavan. By that time, you can think of some trick to escape. What kind of means you will have to use at that time will be revealed by Krishna. One has Krishna's mercy. No one can check him." Srila Prabhupada. Although Srila Raghunath Das Goswami was very anxious to join Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Lord advised him to wait for the mercy of Lord Krishna. He recommended that Raghunath Das keep his Krishna consciousness firmly fixed in his heart while externally behaving like an ordinary man. This is a trick for everyone advanced in Krishna consciousness. One can live in a society like an ordinary human being, but at the same time one's own business should be to satisfy Krishna and spread his glories. Krishna conscious person should not be absorbed in material things, for his only business is the devotional service of the Lord. One is engaged in this way, Krishna will certainly bestow his mercy. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised Raghunath Das, "Yata yogya vishaya bhunja anashakta haya." The same is repeated. "Antare nishtakara bahye loka vyavahara." This means that one must have no desire within his heart other than to serve Krishna. On the basis of such a conviction, one can cultivate Krishna consciousness. This is confirmed in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1-2-200. "Lokiki vaidiki vapi ya kriya kriyate mune hari sevan kulaiva sa karya bhaktim ichata." A devotee may act as an ordinary human being or as a strict follower of Vedic injunctions. In either case, everything he does is favorable for the advancement of devotional service because he is in Krishna consciousness. Right? So if you're connecting things to Krishna, however you're seeing it, you're using it too for Krishna's service. So it doesn't matter what position you're in. So you may seem like a very, traditional technical follower, or just kind of like how it's kind of like everybody's going about their regular duties. It doesn't matter because, as Prabhupada points out, is that the advanced devotees, they see everything connected to Krishna. There's nothing not connected to Krishna. So in that way, they could see even whatever they're doing, however it may be indirect for others, but for them, it becomes direct. Because they see it connected to Krishna, it's direct. For others, they don't see it connected to Krishna, and then through the analysis and the philosophy and that, you find some way to connect it. So for in general, you see there's the direct activities of devotional service, and then there's the indirect. But for these advanced devotees, there's only direct, because whatever their position, it's always connected to Krishna. Yeah? 216, 242 to 244. In this way, because here the emphasis is on the devotee means the one who's advanced. Right? So that's the key point. Right? Not the key point is an ordinary human being, a strict follower. It's a devotee may act, because everything he does is favorable for the advancement of the service because he's Krishna conscious. So the advanced devotee is Krishna conscious. Therefore, everything he does. Does that make sense? So it's important that we don't take these and take them out of context and see, I can just do anything I want. Because it's not about us. If we're Krishna conscious, it's not about us. It means we're part of the equation. We're a person. We're an individual. But it's not from our standpoint that we view things, because that's aropya. We're projecting our own needs and desires onto devotional service rather than we're engaging ourselves in devotional service. Right? It's a start. But one should understand that's not advanced.
Okay. Can we consider that advancement is measured by how much you follow the instruction of the acharyas and the spiritual master?
Yes, that aspect, that it mentions there's going to be that, there's going to be how much you're absorbed in Krishna, you know, in holy name, you know, how much you understand of the scriptures, you know, but it all, of course, has to be in line with what Guru Sadhu and Krishna is saying. And so, yeah. And so these aspects, it's a matter of, you have to see what's the context body that it's approaching. There's a particular angle. You look at it from that, then that discussion has a meaning. You know, like let's say we're discussing how you set up arrangement for a prasad. Then you're going to talk about, you know, the practicality for serving, the aesthetics, you know, making everything very easy so it's not, doesn't create any distraction. You know, so you're emphasizing that aspect, but that doesn't make it more important than the prasad. And the devotees, that environment of honoring prasad, you know. And then for someone else, then you say, "I'll keep the klitsha very clean, very nice, like that." So it's about pleasing Krishna. So one has to know is what it is. So all these different things are there because they're just explaining how Krishna is in everything. When Krishna in a particular, field of knowledge, then it's still Krishna. And it still acts as Krishna does. But because we're not seeing it in context of Krishna, then we will speculate on what's going on, what we observe in that, rather than, no, Shastra says this, or this is, you know, that aspect. So then we see is that the rules of a particular subject matter are the way they are because Krishna set the rules. So Krishna becomes the important thing, not the topic. Right? You use the topic. You know, it's just like you use the pan for cooking, but it's not about the pan. You know, you always hear enthusiasts, only with this kind of pan and this kind of thing and this oven, only then you can really cook really good food like that. You know, I've cooked on other things like that, but you know, this is like super excellent. Yeah, you get those kind of people. And for them, yeah, if you put them in an ordinary kitchen, they would not be able to cook very well. You know, but at the same time, it's not about that. It's about the cooking is the important thing. And if these things support and help, you use them. So for yourself, you need these things, get them, use them. But it's not that makes cooking. No, it just makes it more, you're able to get better results in the cooking. But cooking is an original science. Like that. You know, like we're seeing in the, there's the principles there. And then these other details, like we're seeing in the drama, that it's giving ideas on how you do the ornamentation and the different props and everything that you need. But it is, and giving ideas of how they're constructed. But it's making the point is the main thing is they're not heavy. They look good, you know, and, you know, they look authentic. And so then you use, you know, your own intelligence, what's the local traditions and intelligence that they use. Like if you have a way to do it and it comes out fabulous, use it. If the local people have a way of doing it and it comes out, use that. Point is, get the effect. You're supporting the expression of emotion to create a change of consciousness in the audience. So it's not about the props. You know what I'm saying? It's not about, you know, how you say, free-range, organic props. Does that make sense?
You know, they have these things, you watch a video of someone saying something funny and they have a pre-recorded laughs and clapping.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. So the point is the principles are there, and that's what the Vedic culture is. Then the detail, it can be whatever works. You know? Whatever works. That's what you're trying to do. So you can say, but you know, we cook on the sidewalk in the summertime. But you might not want to do that for Krishna. You know, Raghunath Das was, Raghunath Pandit was disturbed when the boga touched the top of the door frame where dust from people's feet, let alone cooking on the sidewalk. No, but we all cook on the sidewalk, you know, we're cool with it. You know, so one has to know is that you have that range of doing. There is a traditional way. Sometimes that art gets lost. People don't know, but you know the principle, and you look around, and if you see some other aspects of those arts that can be used, then it's fine. But we have to understand is that it is what it is. It is Krishna's laws. You know, and Prabhupada talks about, you know, India. He means that the Vedic principles, how it's being followed. It's not a desh, because before the whole world was Bharatvarsha. I mean, I heard, can't remember when it was, like 10 years or something back, they found some deities, you know, in the ground. They were excavating some place, and they found, you know, deities, you know, Vedic deities in America. They were digging someplace. You know, so previously it was all Bharatvarsha. So this whole idea that, oh, this is foreign to our land. No, it's not. You may have forgotten, but that doesn't make it foreign.
Every year they come up. We find the deities of Vishnu, Lord Shiva, somewhere in Europe.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's not cheap.
No, but it doesn't take off. No one puts the dots together, because they're really worried about that particular, you know, how you say, conclusion. Right. 216, 242, 244. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bade farewell to Raghunath Das, who returned home and did exactly what the Lord told him. After returning home, Raghunath Das gave up all craziness and external pseudo-renunciation and engaged in his household duties without attachment. Because the point is that's the point. If you can work with the things with detachment, that's the better position. You know, for some, then they can't. They can't work with that. So that's why, let's see, for brahmacharyas, they're separated from the main social environment. Because when they're in that, they're so they can't function otherwise. So you remove them from that, and it's in a similar environment, then they learn how to do their services without attachment. Then, when they go back into that environment later, then they can function.
Mm-hmm. Maharaj, there is a problem with outreach. In other words, because ISKCON has been doing so much over the last 20 years with the Indian community, you know, it's preaching to the converted, and then when you want to try to preach to the local people, you know that they are not fit to be in. So then you have to work out ways to engage them in devotional service, despite their attachment, despite their bad habits, despite their misconceptions. And it's a really, really big challenge.
But the thing is in the earlier days, that's all you had. You didn't have Indian community. Not in the West. In India, that's all you had was Indian community. You know? And so then they moved in. The point is when you preach that pure Krishna consciousness, that's a universal principle. Then striving for that, then you'll get close. But if you try to just deal with it on the local level, then everybody's different. You go house to house in one neighborhood, the lifestyle between them all is completely different. You know, in other words, each one has a unique system of impurity, of irregulation, of, you know, lack of control of the senses. So you can't use, there's this idea that you use the Western model. That's not going to work. Even when they quote Western models like the the Mormons or the Amish or that, they have very strict rules. They're not so great. Let's follow. So you're going to follow their rules? They wear a particular set of clothes from 200 years ago. Yeah, and a particular beard and all that kind of thing. So are you going to, you know, are you going to agree to that? So then what is it going to be? You know, so the whole point is that no one wears that. But in India today, people still wear dhotis and chadars and everything like we wear. So it's still alive. But they're talking about something that no one wears. You know? And that, and so at the same time, is we'll talk about that, but at the same time, we won't. At the point of regulation of the life, that's the part we don't want to accept. We want to accept this, okay, they do farming, and they do it with the horses, and then how could we learn how to do farming with horses? But the point is, why are they farming with horses? That's what you have to learn. So one has to go, one has to see, you know, the culture. So the point is, the Vedic is dealing with the soul. That's the only thing that's universal. Literally. You know, it's like how the different people in you know, if you think back in your own neighborhood, you wouldn't live like your neighbors. You know? So it's, you know, they're weird. But, you know, it's weird enough that's in control that it doesn't bother your weirdness. You know, so then it's all right. So one has to appreciate that is the thing that is works. So the point is why, what is, I mean, we're saying we're preaching to the converted, but at the same time is, that's only the aspects of the religious side. The philosophy side is that they're a mushmash.
That's true.
So the point is the religion follows the philosophy. So, therefore, the religious side, it's easy for them to do, but the philosophy is harder. The Westerners, the philosophy is easy, the religion is harder. So each one has its challenges. So, and at the same time is, okay, they're preaching to the Indian communities and all this and that, but then one might say, well, have they become lazy then? Because if they can't, if they're preaching to that, it's so like that, there's so much in that environment, then technically they should be able to explain why you're doing it, what's the principles. And that you can preach to anybody. And that people will go, yes, it's a matter of purity. Or it's a matter of regulation. Or, you know, and why regulation? Why purity? These are the things that they move away from. That's the thing, oh no, but no one will accept that. It's kind of like, who nobody? You're here. You know, unless you're a nobody in the car, if that's okay, then, you know, let me talk to somebody, you know. You know, you don't talk. You know, you're a nobody. You know, so the whole point is no, it worked for all the individuals who are complaining. So why won't it work for someone else? You know what I'm saying? It's all the modes of nature. It's the same modes. Like that. And we have to remember is those Indians are in the West. They're there for the money. They may be better at getting the money, and that's why we cultivate them as a community. But that's the whole point, is that if they can be in the Western environment making more money on average than anybody else there that we call quote-unquote local, because local actually has long black hair and their skin is actually reddish color, and they got big noses. That's local. Everybody else, yeah. Exactly. You know, if they come from Cherokee, Navajo, Iroquois, you know, what do you call it? I can't remember all the names, but there's five big main nations. If they're from that, then they're local. And if they're not, you're a foreigner. Get it together. 200 years, you're a foreigner. So therefore, you're just imposing. And what they are is, where are they from? If you look, the northern half of America's, they identify themselves as Germans. And the southern half identifies themselves as English. And then there's pockets where it'll be more, you know, some variety of Latino. And then you have, of course, the African Americans.
And the Italians.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, so that's the whole, you know, it's that, and so then, you know. So we have to be very, very careful that they make it sound like these things are archaic. The Bhagavad Gita is eternal. They're working on it like, oh, that only worked back, yeah, in the 60s, it'll work. It's kind of like, what are you talking about? It's eternal. It works any time. Prabhupada applied it properly, it worked. People were applying Gita before that, it wasn't working. People make their own Gitas and other, it still doesn't work. Because the point is to produce a pure devotee. You know, so the thing is, as people don't want the philosophy, don't want the religion, you know, but want some kind of relief and that, and feel that you're doing something. So, you know, then what are you going to end up with? You know, you take Judaism, then turn it into, you know, Christian Judaism, then you turn it into Catholic, then you turn it into Protestant, then you turn it in. What do you end up with? So that's the whole point is that it's just a different thing. So because devotees don't study religion, then that's why they don't know what they're doing. And you explain it, people will do it. You know, if they claim that the Westerners are so smart and practical and scientific, they'll see this is more scientific than they're doing. I mean, which is more scientific? I want to clean a surface. I take some water and give it a scrub. Or I take a piece of newspaper and push the stuff around on the counter until I'm tired doing that. Which is more clean? The water or the paper? Right? The water. So then why wouldn't you want to clean your backside with water? Why would you want to push it around with a piece of paper? You tell that to them, they'll go, wow. I mean, you know, you can say, oh, no, you can't say that. Of course you can say that. They're Americans. You can't say that. They're not Americans.
This would have been a very good line at the beginning of COVID because that's what they went for toilet paper.
Yeah, they should have been storing water, you know. And think of what they could have done with all that. They could have bought cheese or something valuable. Yes, yeah, so I'm just saying is that why you can't say these things? That's the whole thing. The Americans, they're straightforward. They're, you know, we're like that. We want the truth like that. So then give it to them. That's the problem. And when mamby-pamby's around and stuff, then, of course, then there's going to be a problem. It's like a dog. You stand there, then they don't bother you. You turn around and look scared. They go after you. So everyone, oh, just see. I said, and they went after. But that's because you're scared. You know, it's like that, you know, I think it was at L.A., that dog came up, they were out on a walk, was bothering the devotees and all that. Okay. Yeah, just Prabhupada just walking along like that, suddenly turned around, ha, like this, you know, squat down, the dog, gone, you know. Then later they were on a walk, one of the devotees tried it without conviction, and the dog went after him. It's like, you know, so Prabhupada just, you know, Prabhupada laughed, he says, you can't do it.
He said, you have to do it twice.
Yeah.
He said, you did it only once.
Yeah.
You did it twice.
Yeah, it's just like you have to.
Monkeys more.
Yeah, monkeys also. Like that. But, I mean, you have to be a little bit more enthusiastic. Once I somehow another, why, I don't know. Because there was the stairs in the Vrindavan guest house. And right next to the stairs, there was this little room, set of rooms for kitchens. So I was cooking there. And I came out onto the veranda like that. I was moving and I had to go somewhere. There's this big old monkey sitting there, you know? You know, one of the ones that's not old, but not kids. You know, the ones that, you know, they think that they're, you know, they're the man. So then I, you know, came out like that. And the monkey does his thing like that. And I just went like this, you know, with real. And the monkey looked and he went. Because that means in monkey laying, I'm going to bite your arm off. They do it. They do that too. They do that to the other. You know, the kids get there and they do that and then they run off. You know, the small monkeys. So say it worked. I mean, I couldn't say that I could do it again, but at the time, it was just the right moment. I was in the right attitude. This guy's here and I got things to do and I'm not messing around because you've decided, you know, the tall way's yours. So I just beat it. So it's all an attitude. So cultivate the attitude. And yeah, maybe it fails. After a few months, you'll start to get it. Because say what you like, oh, it's not possible in that. We've had, you know, devotees from here and sitting in the class. They went to America, sat down at the universities, talked like this. People appreciated. They rode on the buses. They talked. People appreciated. And so this idea is, oh, no one will listen to this. It's kind of like he didn't meet a person that wouldn't listen. Because you say it straight. People want straight. So that's the whole thing. Yeah, straight with no agenda. You know, detachment. You're doing your duties without attachment. So that means it's like this. If you want to take advantage of it, you'll get the benefit. If you don't, I'm already doing it, so it doesn't bother me. It's not like I'm making a commission off this. You know? And plus, I can sit here and chant japa. I don't have to talk to you. You know, it's like, you'll get bored on 6 hours. I won't. I can sit here and chant. You know? And go to sleep on the plane. Right? You know? They can't. You know? You can. So it's important to understand is that it's the point of pure devotional service. That's what makes things work. And you preach pure devotional service, it will have effect. Purity is the force. Like that. It's not techniques. People who are good at something, you know, as I say, book distribution, you bring in the big book distributor to show people how to do book distribution. But it's not his technique that's working, it's his attitude. But he uses that technique as his medium, and he can show you his technique, but the main thing to pick up is his attitude. Because if you catch that, that technique may work for you, but something else might work. You know, someone comes up, they're so gregarious, someone comes up, they're just so pleasant, someone comes up, they're very humble, someone comes up, they're, you know, they're very confident. It's individual, but the point is that conviction that this service is important and it pleases the Lord and these people will benefit from it. That's there. You'll work out the balance. You know, because people are looking for something because, especially nowadays, what's out there? What's the great thing? What's so fabulous that they're, you know, just rolling in ecstasy on the ground because, you know, modern material life is just, you know, so wonderful. You know? So, you know. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
The difficult test of times is to the mind is looking for excuse. If we don't want to ourselves to become a pure devotee, to go to that direction.
Yes.
Because if we don't want, we cannot say to other people.
No, course, means you can do what you have. Yes. That's the whole point. The acharyas, the uttamadhikari can make others into uttamadhikaris.
Yes.
Like that. Madhyams and kanistas can bring about faith.
Yes.
Like that. Yes. And so that whole point is that the Madhyam will have more of a wider range and the neophyte may have a narrower range, but the point is he has faith that he can give to someone else.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's the whole point. So it's not technique and this and that. It's just what impresses you in Krishna consciousness. Why are you doing it? That's why you tell them. I mean, that's at least they did in the early days. You know, like this is a situation and so this answered my question. That's why I'm doing it. You know. So it works. You know, this whole thing of being a professional, it has to be understood. If professional means you're good at what you're doing, but if they tuck on the professional attitude, except for professionals, no one likes professionals. Means they're very good to engage by people above professionals that hire them because they get the work done. They got such an attitude that, and such ego that they think they're the cat's meow, so they'll go in and get the work done. You know, and step on everybody and couldn't care less. And so they're effective. And anyone below them, then no one likes them. Right? But being professional means that you're good at what you do. You're convinced of that. You're committed to that. You put in thought and effort. And so then you're able to do. That kind of professional, you know, professionalism we need. But that professional attitude, we don't need that on any day of the week. It's useless. It's just false ego. You know? Okay. So one has to be very, very careful. Because otherwise they have attitude in that, but they're a person. So you're preaching, you want to preach to the person, not to the professional. Just like the academic. You can't talk to an academic. You can talk to the person who's an academic. I talk to him, I can talk about Krishna consciousness and give Siddhanta. But as an academic, it's against the academic rules. You can't talk Siddhanta. So same ways, why would you want to talk to the professional? You want to talk to the individual. Because, you know, the bottom line is they are a person. They're an individual. They have their own values and this and that. Those who are interested, you talk to them. Those who are not, you don't. It's like on the battlefield. You know, you're on the battlefield. It's a battle scene. There, you know, I say there's live injuries. You know, there's, you know, 100 soldiers injured. You know, there's 2 doctors. They go to who's going to survive. Right? They don't spend their time with the guy that's obviously going to die, and then, you know, 10 others that could have survived, but he spent that time, then they're lost. He goes for those ones. We have limited time. You go for those that you can do something with. Right? Means you can work with this group of people. Someone else can work with a different group. Some people can work with both groups. And so you put your effort there. You don't have to be expert in everything, just those that works with. You know, like that. And even for the Indians, they still have to know why they're doing it. Because that's the thing, is that their parents will tell them that to do like this, but if you ask why, they don't know. They just say, well, my parents did that, and that's what our tradition. And so they may or may not. They have that more kind of a appreciation of tradition or family values, then they may follow it. You know, when they very nicely, or when they can, or occasionally, or whenever they think about it. But the others, it's just like no one can answer. They just look for their own path. And so you have to explain why it's there, because they don't know either. That's the whole thing. There's some practical things they know of personal relationship, how you interact, but why they're doing anything that would be, you know, the Vedic culture, the Hindu culture, they don't have a clue. Or if they do, it's some weird thing that some Mayavadi said that has nothing to do with anything. So it's the same thing. It's just they're more comfortable with the words, they're more comfortable with tradition. You can point out about the tradition, and that'll have more of a meaning to them. But you know, it's not exactly like preaching to the chorus, because they can't sing. You know, the chorus can sing. These guys can't. Is that okay? Yeah. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bade farewell to Raghunath Das, who returned home and did exactly what the Lord told him. After returning home, Raghunath Das gave up all craziness and external pseudo-renunciation, engaged in his household duties without attachment. That's the main thing. Perform your duties without attachment. It means that if you can't do that, perform your duties, you know, with the idea of you know, somehow or another giving the results to Krishna. Right, because then there'll be that renunciation. Because if you can't do it as detached as sannyas, then do it as renunciation. Means that afterwards, after you do it as mine, I give it to the Lord, and gradually the knowledge and detachment will come up, and then that will be easy. So the form will stay the same, and so that's why he gave that up. Because otherwise, that enthusiastic, you want to do those things, and they're nice. It's nice that mood is there. It's a nice thing, but as Lord Chaitanya pointed out, don't be a crazy fellow, because right now is the wrong time. You know, Lord Chaitanya's leaving, he's going off to Vrindavan. And, you know, others, so there's going to be a time when Raghunath Das Goswami comes, then it'll work. I think when he comes, then also Rupa Goswami's there. Isn't it? He comes down to Puri, isn't Rupa there? At first it's Rupa Damodar, right? But Rupa comes at some point.
Yeah, Rupa spends a year. And then Sanatana Goswami spends a year.
Okay, so that's I think that's later.
Yeah.
But he'll come down there, and then he'll be put under Srupa Damodar, and then it'll work. So there's a time for that. And so then it naturally comes up. So that's the actual point of doing your duties. If you're a householder, you do your duties without attachment. You're brahmachari, you do your duties without attachment. You know, vanaprastha, do your duties without attachment, sannyasi without, because you can be attached to detachment also. Right? So you're doing it because, without attachment, because it pleases Krishna. That's the idea.
You can't be detached without adding a higher taste which you
have. Yes.
Replacing it with spiritual attachment.
Yes, yes. Because we always have to remember is that performing your duties without attachment will bring you to the neutral position. The prema comes from an attraction to Krishna.
Yes.
So, never forget Krishna. That will bring you to liberation. Always remember Krishna. That will take you to prema.
Yes.
So that's why we see sadhana and all that done without attachment, and that with the idea that that will bring you up to the platform of the Brahma-Bhuta. But it's that cultivation of doing that to please Krishna that's going to take you through to prema. Performing the duties with detachment, that will end at Brahma-Bhuta. But then going forward into prema, because that's there, then you'll continue. Because that's the problem. Before, we're on that platform, but there's no attraction for Krishna.
Yes.
So then we've gone this way.
Yes.
So now, because that's the point to be cultivated. Because getting to liberation platforms, that's not the difficult point. Having that attraction to Krishna, rati for Krishna, that's the important point. It's the natural point, but that's the real point. That's the real deal. And so then you cultivate, because that's it means never forget. That's important for always remembering. You know, like
can
that.
We understand in the case of Raghunath Das that Lord Chaitanya gives him instruction, be detached from everything you do. And for Raghunath Das is, if I do that, I can cultivate my attachment to Lord Chaitanya instead of developing rati for Krishna. His focus is Lord Chaitanya, and by reaching Lord Chaitanya, he will get everything else.
That's there. That aspect is there. But you see, Lord Chaitanya is talking about Krishna will reveal.
Right.
You know, just like it was with Maharaj Prataparudra. You know, you just said Krishna. Like he said, Krishna is definitely going to give his mercy.
Yes.
And so then that aspect comes. So there is that aspect there, but you have the point is that it's not about the renunciation. That's an enthusiastic aspect, but it's about not doing it means doing it without attachment to Krishna, but always remembering Krishna. Just like let's say you're in the kitchen, and you know somebody starts talking about lunch. So then you tell them, you know, no, until we've offered to Krishna, you don't talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the never forget Krishna part.
Mm-hmm.
So much of the time we stop there. You know, in most of our things, oh, don't do that, Krishna doesn't like that. But it doesn't go through to how it pleases Krishna or how that at cultivating that side. And in the beginning, that may not be very attractive. You know, it's just the rules there, follow the rules and things like that, you know. So then, but at some point then it comes, it's pleasing to Krishna to do like this. So then what's the pleasing? I'm doing this to please Krishna. I'm cooking and doing all these things nicely like that, so it's for Krishna. That's the main thing. You know, but we also have to see is that you don't do anything that'll make you forget Krishna. So the two things go together, but we have to remember, always remembering Krishna is the primary, never forget him is the secondary.
Yes.
Now, once you come to the platform where you're always absorbed in Krishna, that secondary becomes part of the primary.
Yes.
Like that. Like Mother Jashoda, her cooking for Krishna and making arrangements in the house, making ornaments, that it's all directly connected to Krishna. It's not secondary activities. You know, so that's the thing. Once that focus is fully on those primary, all the secondary become primary. Because they're all directly connected to Krishna. But until such time, we're looking at the secondary to make sure it doesn't get in the way of our trying to engage in primary. Does that make sense? You know, it's like one devotee was collecting for Janmashtami. But in so doing, he was so busy that he wasn't getting his rounds done. And so then after a few days, then Prabhupada was there at the temple, and he asked him, you know, so you're getting your rounds done. And he said, no, but I'm, you know, we're doing a good collection and all that. But Prabhupada said, what's the point if you're not chanting your rounds? Because the chanting is the primary. Collecting, that was engaging his nature. He could do that. Right? Otherwise, others were doing something else. Someone else is doing puja, someone else is cleaning the temple, someone else doing that. So engaging his nature, he could do that, and he was good at it. So the point is that supports, but you have to see you're getting your rounds done. Yes, you might collect a little bit less money, but you get your rounds done, and that's the point. So instead of seeing 10 people, you might only see 8 or 6. But then also, because you're getting your rounds done, it'll have more potency and people may be more impressed. And if even you don't get more money, but then they may come to the program, take up more, get more involved in Krishna consciousness. Money is just the trick, because they deal in money, they value money, so you give something of value to Krishna. But once they've done that, then they get purified, now they want to do some service. So then they may take up some chanting or some reading or serving, you know, like that. So, yes.
Maharaj, we try to do things for pleasing to Krishna, and we want to do it consistently. But due to lack of taste and consistent experience in doing whether Krishna is getting pleased or not, we get distracted by other things.
Yes, so that's why I never forget Krishna. See, the point is the two go together. They're two sides of the same thing. If you're always remembering, you're not forgetting. But if you're forgetting, you're not remembering. So we might have to focus more on don't do the things that make us forget. And then we start to remember. But at the same time as those things that make us remember, then that's always a good thing. You know, so we see, we're chanting, we're going to the temple, we're associating with devotees, we're hearing Bhagavatam, we're worshipping the deities, we're living in the Dham, worshipping Tulsi, you know, these things like that, because those are direct. Does that make sense?
Initially it will be dry kind of a thing, till we get a taste.
Everything's dry until you get a taste. Why only Krishna consciousness?
And to poison the process.
You know, how many first graders are just like in ecstasy doing their math? You know, he's just thinking, yep, I'm going to do this, I'm going to get be the topper, I'm going to go through IT, I'm going to be the topper, then I'm going to go to here, and I'm going to make, you know, crores. You know, and that's what he's thinking, right? No. He's thinking, I'd rather be playing, but, you know, mommy and daddy said I got to do this. Right. No?
Drier
and driest, yeah. It just keeps getting drier. But we keep thinking, no, it'll get better. You know, it's like the deer in the desert. It's getting drier, but he's thinking, no, there's more water. The more he hallucinates. So it's just the material world means dry. So it's not Krishna consciousness is dry, we're dry. And so when it's like, you know, the example given of jaundice. Sugar is always sweet, but to someone with jaundice, it tastes bitter. Like that. So they don't like to take it. So therefore, you take this on a regular basis. See this much, you finish this much mystery in a day. Remember when doctor's saying he gave a big pie like that? He says, you stick one in your mouth, you stick it out on the side here. You can still talk and this and that. When it's finished, put another one there. And do that the whole day. Only when you're sleeping, don't put one there. You know, problem. And then you see, after some days, then it starts to stop being bitter, then it's a little bit better, and like this, and it goes like neutral, and then it starts getting a little bit of sweetness, like that. So as it goes, you know you're better. So it's like that. So it's just the way it is. You know what I'm saying? So it's not Krishna consciousness. Sometimes it's playing, Krishna consciousness is so dry. No, everything is so dry. Because you can say is no, but this is very nice. But there are people that have done that and given it up and moved on because it's so dry. Just you're thinking, no, it won't be dry. I'll get something out of it. And then after years and you find you don't get nothing out of it, then you'll leave it like everybody else and go on to something else. Right? You know, it's like, you know, it's like the, if you can't enjoy, then you'll want to control. And when you can't control, then nothing. You know? And then from nothing, back to enjoyment. Is that... Yeah? When Raghunath Das's father and mother saw that their son was acting like a householder, they became very happy. Because of this, they slackened their guard. See, Krishna's smart. You know, it's because of this, they're going to be every moment. And they have the, you know, they have the, how you say, facilities. You know, they have how many people it was? Like 10 people? 12 people watching. So then if they find that's not working, they can put 20. It's not going to break the bank, you know. So, but when he starts like this, then they think, okay, he's cool. And then they relax, and then, you know, like that. Srila Prabhupada, when Raghunath Das's father and mother saw that the son was no longer acting like a crazy fellow and was responsibly attending to his duties, they became very happy. The 11 people, 5 watchmen, 4 personal service, and 2 Brahmins who were guarding him became less strict in their vigilance. When Raghunath Das actually took up his household affairs, his parents reduced the number of guards. Okay, so he started at, what is it, 11? And that 5 watchmen. You know, the servants and the 2 Brahmins probably stayed, because the Brahmins were cooking and making those arrangements, and the servants would be... So the 5 watchmen then would become less.
Like a house arrest.
Yeah. Well, he's acting crazy, so... But you see, it's a house arrest, but, you know, with full facility. It's first class, you know. 216, 245 to 251. Meanwhile, at Shantipur, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu assembled all his devotees, headed by Advaitacharya and Nityananda Prabhu, embraced them all and asked their permission to return to Jagannath Puri. Because he had met them all at Shantipur, right? Because he had gone from Shantipur before. He had gone up to Kanai Nakshal and that, because he had already explained it before. And the crowds were so great, and I think someone mentioned that it made to start disturbing the local rulers and all that. And that. So then he went back. He thought, though, this is not working. Right? So now we're back at Shantipur again. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requested all the devotees not to go to Jagannath Puri that year. Right, because he had come there to see them. And so then he said they don't come. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I shall certainly go to Vrindavan from Jagannath Puri. If all of you give me permission, I shall return here again without difficulty. Because if they're there, then it'll be hard for him to get away. They'll just follow him, right? Clasping the feet of his mother, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very humbly requested her permission. Thus she gave him leave to go to Vrindavan. Srimati Sachidevi was sent back to Navadvip, and the Lord and his devotees started for Jagannath Puri, Niladri. The devotees who accompanied Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rendered all kinds of service on the way to Nilachal, Jagannath Puri. Thus, in great happiness, the Lord returned. Verses 252 to 290. The Lord makes a new plan to travel to Vrindavan without a crowd. That seems to be the essential element. No crowd. 216, 252, 264. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arrived in Jagannath Puri, he visited the temple of the Lord. News then spread all over the city that he had returned. All the devotees then came and met the Lord with great happiness. The Lord embraced each of them in great ecstatic love. Kashi Mishra, Ramananda Rai, Prajumna, Sarvabhoma Bhattacharya, Vaninath Raya, Sikhi Mahiti, and all the devotees met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Gadadhar Pandit also came and met the Lord. Then, before all the devotees, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to speak as follows. It was my decision to go to Vrindavan through Bengal in order to see my mother and the river Ganges. Thus I went to Bengal. But thousands of devotees began to follow me. Many hundreds of thousands of people came to see me out of curiosity, and due to such a large crowd, I could not travel very freely on the road. Indeed, the crowd was so large that the house and the boundary walls of the house where I stayed were destroyed. Okay, that's enthusiasm. And wherever I looked, I could see only large crowds. With great difficulty, I went to the town of Ramakeli, where I met 2 brothers named Rupa and Sanatana. These two brothers are great devotees and suitable recipients of Krishna's mercy, because if he'd gone the other way, he wouldn't have met them. You know, I mean, of course, he'd have some other pastime, but this way he could see the devotees at Bengal, he could see Rupa and Sanatan, and then come back, and now he can make a plan to go directly to Vrindavan.
Because Sanatan Goswami is the one who actually instructed him. So this was not the right way to come to Bengal. You should go on your own.
Yes. These two brothers are great devotees and suitable recipients of Krishna's mercy. But in their ordinary dealings, they are government officials, ministers to the king. Srila Rupa and Sanatan are very much experienced in education, devotional service, intelligence, and strength. Yet they think themselves inferior to straw in the streets. Indeed, the humility of these two brothers could even melt stone. Because I was very pleased with their behavior, I told them, although you're both very much exalted, you consider yourselves inferior. Because of this, Krishna will very soon deliver you. Srila Prabhupada. Such are the qualifications of a pure devotee. Materially, one may be very opulent, experienced, influential, and educated. But if one still thinks himself lower than straw on the street, one attracts the attention of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or Lord Krishna. Although Maharaj Prataparudra was a king, he took up a broom to cleanse the road for Lord Jagannath's Ratha, chariot. Because of this humble service, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased with the king. And for that reason, the Lord embraced him. According to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions, a devotee should never be puffed up by material power. He should know that material power is the result of one's past good activities, karma, and is consequently transient. Right? Just someone comes in, they have these natural qualities and all that, then they engage that in the Lord's service. And that. But that's where it's coming from. In the past, you've done work. And why is it like that? You follow Krishna's direction. Maybe not knowing it's from Krishna, but you follow the laws of nature, you follow the scriptures, you follow, practical, like this, what actually works. You observe the situation, see this works, this doesn't work. Mm-hmm. Point is it's working that way because Krishna made it that way. So because of that, then you get some piety. So in this life, you may have some ability. Mm-hmm. But we must see is that we shouldn't be proud of that. It's transient. And then anything that Krishna has developed, Krishna himself has given, like that. But the point is Krishna's given that. It's not coming from us. So in either way, it's coming for our karma, indirectly, through Krishna's agency, or by Krishna being pleased, and it's coming from him. So it's not us. We're not the fabulous one. Right? At least not in our own vision. In others' vision, they may have a different idea. But, like you see, they consider themselves very, unimportant. But you see then Lord Chaitanya, then when he starts talking about them, then, it'll give, it's like he's talking with 5 mouths or 100 mouths or 1,000, like this. So much glories and all that. At any moment, all one's material opulence can be finished. And therefore, a devotee is never proud of such opulence. So even like Rupa and Sanatan, they had such opulence that was, but then it's gone. Raghunath Das, he was the heir. So all that would have been his. Mm-hmm. And so then, but then it's all gone. Mm-hmm. Like this. So the point is these things come and go. They're there, you use them in service. They're not there, you... So Raghunath Das is glorified for having all that and using it connected to the Lord. And he's glorified for not having any of that and connecting to the Lord. Yes. And even when he had a little bit, like he's in Puri and his father sends him stuff, he would use it to serve Lord Chaitanya. Mm-hmm. But then having served, then after a while he decided, no, he'll throw a little bit more. Like that. Mm-hmm. Interesting, he's trying to be renounced. But then Lord Chaitanya said, no, in time. And so, but then the later, he's the one that's most renounced.
Yes, yes.
Like that. So, following the instructions, that's the glory.
And he's going to finance the
Panihati. Okay, yes.
And give cash to all the devotees.
Yeah. and you can see how qualified he is. It's just like... you're arranging something for thousands of devotees, thousands and on the spot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's just you're going to be there. You know, you call the this flag and we want this much, and you're willing to pay for that and give them good price. It's not you sitting there bargaining and harassing and like that. They want to please, and then it goes out, and so people are coming from other villages and bringing stuff,
yes,
which they all use. You know, because more and more devoted, and they even sit all those guys down. You know, buy all their stuff, then they sit down and eat the same chira and yogurt and whatever it is that they supply. Like that, but you know, so you can see as far as organization goes, he's good, Sanrupa Sanatana, but we don't talk about their managerial ability. It's just they need it, they use it. Otherwise, we don't talk about it. It's not an identity. You know, so that's the thing, this thing of being an identity that, you know, you're a manager or you're this authority or that. That's not, Lord Chaitanya doesn't appreciate that. It may be true, but that's not what is endearing. What's endearing is one's a devotee. Then these things are ornaments. Like that. If all you one has is ornaments, then, you know, it gets a bit trashy. You know? Something, something. You know, it's just like you have the one that, you know, it's just all the chains, all the gold teeth, all the different that, and, you know, and all that kind of stuff, and the car, and everything else, and all that. It's a bit trashy. Then you have the gentleman, you're talking to him, you don't know who he is, he's nice, you're talking this, and sometimes it takes, you know, months or years before you find out, you know, what their position is. You know, they just liked you and they interacted, and then you find out he's some big guy, you know. You know, that's much, much more classy. Hmm? At any moment, all one's material opulence may be finished. Therefore, a devotee is never proud of such opulence. He is always humble and meek, considering himself lower than a piece of straw. Because of this, the devotees are eligible to return home back to Godhead. Why? Lower than a piece of straw. One, in general, because it's straw in the street. It has no value. So lower than that. Right. So... 216, 265, 281. Have you ever seen, I don't know, it depends, have you gone into old markets, especially like fruit markets and stuff like that? Because, you know, they have the crates and they're all packed in straw. Or sometimes some other things are packed in straw. And as soon as you open the box, all that just goes right on the ground. You know, especially because it's all muddy. The only value it is that it's better to step on than the mud. And so it gets squashed in the mud like this. And it's just thrown right there.
Mm-hmm.
You see, yeah, Loy Bazaar, you see that, or in that market right next to Prabhupada's old place on, not Harrison Road, they call it now, Mahatma Gandhi Road. Mm-hmm. You know, there's that market that goes inside. I wouldn't recommend going in there like that. It's all thieves, you know, so it's like...
The other station also, early morning, all the fruit.
Yeah, it's like that. Any place where you know that there's some fruit, like in front of Vardhan Market, this and that, any of those. When they get the new stuff, they all throw it in the street. Then later somebody comes along, sweeps it up. So that's the straw we're talking about. So, yeah. Because of this, the devotees are eligible to return home back to Godhead. 216, 265 to 281. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. After speaking to them in this way, I bade them farewell. As I was leaving, Sanatana told me, this is what you're talking about here. It is not appropriate for one to be followed by a crowd of thousands when going to Vrindavan. Although I heard this, I did not pay it any attention. And in the morning, I went to the place named Kanai Natshala. At night, however, I considered what Sanatana had told me. I decided that Sanatana had spoken very well, right? Because he was the prime minister. So he's telling the king, so he knows what works. So he knows it'll be trouble at some point. Right? Like that. I decided that Sanatana had spoken very well. I was certainly being followed by a large crowd, and when people would see so many men, they would surely rebuke me, saying, here is another impostor. I then began to consider that Vrindavan is a very solitary place. It is invincible and very difficult to attain. I therefore decided to go there alone, or at the utmost with only one person. Madhavendra Puri went to Vrindavan alone, and Krishna, on the pretext of giving him milk, granted him an audience. I then understood that I was going to Vrindavan like a magician with his show. And this is certainly not good. No one should go to Vrindavan with so many men. I have therefore resolved to go alone, or at the utmost with one servant. In this way, my journey to Vrindavan will be beautiful. Notice he's already said it twice about going alone or with maximum one servant. Because he's saying that he's going alone or maximum one servant, because that way he says, going alone, oh, well, let a small group, and what he's already said, one servant. And said it twice, being repeated, that means it's important. So, I thought, instead of going to Vrindavan alone, I'm going with soldiers and the beating of drums. I therefore said, fie upon me. And being very much agitated, I returned to the bank of the Ganges. I then left all the devotees there and brought only 5 or 6 persons with me. Now I wish that you all will be pleased with me and give me good consultation. Tell me how I shall be able to go to Vrindavan without impediments. Right. So he said this, and now he's saying, now you please give advice how I'll accomplish that. Right. So it's not just, okay, this is what I'm going to do, that's the way it is, Hari Bol. It's that this is what I want to do, you know, what is your advice? So we see as it has that position, that it's very open, it's very reciprocal, but at the same time as being straightforward, you know what it is that you're looking for. Right? Because generally, we made up our mind, then we don't want to hear what anyone else says. You know, it's just like he's going, Sanatana Goswami said. He didn't pay any attention to it. And then when we got to the next place, then he thought about it. Well, maybe there is something there. Because I think Kanai Nutshell is also like a form of Vrindavan, no? Yeah, it's a Gupta Vrindavan. And so then being there, then he can see it's a solid, you know, place, you know, where you want to be absorbed in Krishna, so it wouldn't work very nicely. Not how he, you know, how he wants to go.
He had direct darshan of Krishna.
He had direct darshan of Krishna there. Okay. I left Garadhar Pandit here, and because he became very unhappy. And he became very unhappy. For this reason, I could not go to Vrindavan. Right? No, he couldn't go to Vrindavan because Garadhar Pandit was not pleased. Being encouraged by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's words, Garadhar Pandit became absorbed in ecstatic love. Immediately clasping the lotus feet of the Lord, he began to speak with great humility. Garadhar Pandit said, wherever you stay is Vrindavan, as well as the river Jamuna, the river Ganges, and all other places of pilgrimage. Although wherever you stay is Vrindavan, you will still go to Vrindavan just to instruct people. Otherwise, you will do whatever you think best. Because right? He's going there, he instructs people to go to Vrindavan, because wherever he is Vrindavan. Right? Because he's in Vrindavan by taking darshan of Jagannath, because he's seeing just the son of Maharaj Nanda. So they go. So one would say Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. You know, Radharani never leaves Vrindavan. So in Kurukshetra, then it wasn't actually the original Krishna and Radharani. But the point is wherever they are, that is Vrindavan. So if Radharani's there, that is Vrindavan. And then when she's there, that will bring out that mood in Krishna. So Vrindavan is Vrindavan, you know, Braj, because of Braja Radharani. Because of her mood. That's why Krishna manifests. Otherwise, Krishna is rasa. So that particular rasa is because of the devotee. And she's the devotee, so therefore the Adi rasa and everything is manifest. So if she's there, it's there.
Is that the reason why Ramanand Roy started Damodar and Vidala to be in Guru
Vrindavan? Yeah. Means you have that aspect.
Because they are completely
absorbed. Yeah, so wherever you are, it's Vrindavan. You know, like there's that famous, I think, lecture in Melbourne. You know, it's always quoted. It says, this is Vrindavan.
Yeah.
So the point is, so when it says you should, the fifth item is you should live in Vrindavan. Mayapur. It's just wherever the temple is and the deities being worshipped and devotees are doing service, that's Vrindavan. Like that. So that's there. But at the same time, is there must be an appreciation of going to Vrindavan. So that's why Prabhupada encouraged. That's what Gaur Purnima Festival was for, devotees to come to Mayapur. And since they're here, then yes, the senior devotees, you know, they're all here, they can get together and have some discussions on expanding Krishna consciousness, you know, and that's, what, you know, but that's a side point. The main thing was coming together, associating in Mayapur and Vrindavan, and getting that transcendental benefit of the association in the Dham. Right? And so if that is not understood, then one could miss the point and think that, oh, it's, you're coming just for the meeting. And then, oh, no, but I have to go back because no one's there for Gaur Purnima. It's kind of like, how many temples do you have? You know, how many are you going to be in? So you're only going to be in one. So what about all the others? So why not be here and give benefit to the devotees? You know, so the whole thing is the point's missed. So there must be that appreciation. Otherwise, someone would say, oh, it's India. No, it's not. You may, if you see it as India, that's your misfortune. It's the transcendental realm. And if you can't see it, start praying. So one must appreciate. When Prabhupada would come here, he'd be very happy. He'd go be enthusiastic, go out and preach. But when he'd come back, he'd be very happy. And one time when they were bringing in the car, when it drove in the thing, the Prabhupada just, home. So, you know. Srila Prabhupada. It was not essential for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to go to Vrindavan, for wherever he stayed was immediately converted to Vrindavan. Indeed, at that place were also the river Ganges, the river Jamuna, and all other places of pilgrimage. Because when you're in the Dham, everything's there. In Mayapur, you have Ganga and Jamuna here. In Vrindavan, you have Ganga and Jamuna. You have all the places. All the places are there, all here. So wherever Lord Chaitanya, that they'll all be there. You know? This was also expressed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself when he danced at the Rath Yatra. At that time, he said that his very mind was Vrindavan, Mora Mana Vrindavan. Because his mind was Vrindavan, all the pastimes of Radha and Krishna were taking place within himself. Nonetheless, just to teach people, he visited Balma Vrindavan, Vrindavan Dham in this material world. In this way, the Lord instructed everyone to visit Vrindavan Dham, which is a very holy place. You know, Prabhupada wanted devotees to go and spend time and get the benefit. Materialists consider Vrindavan Dham an unclean city because there are many monkeys and dogs there, and along the bank of the Jamuna there is refuse. Some time ago, a materialistic man asked me, why are you living in Vrindavan? Why have you selected such a dirty place to live after retiring? You know? Such a person cannot understand that the earthly Vrindavan Dham is always a representation of the original Vrindavan Dham. Consequently, Vrindavan Dham is as worshipable as Lord Krishna. Aradhyo Bhagavan Vrajesha Tanayas Tad Dhamma Vrindavanam. According to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy, Lord Sri Krishna and his abode, Vrindavan, are equally worshipable. Sometimes materialists of people who have no spiritual understanding go to Vrindavan as tourists. One who goes to Vrindavan with such materialistic vision cannot derive any spiritual benefit. Such a person is not convinced that Krishna and Vrindavan are identical. Since they are identical, Vrindavan is as worshipable as Lord Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's vision, Mora Mana Vrindavana, is different from the vision of an ordinary materialistic person. At the Rath Yatra festival, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, absorbed in the ecstasy of Srimati Radharani, dragged Lord Krishna back to Vrindavan Dham. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke of this in the verses beginning Ahus Cha Te Madhya Lila 13:136. In Srimad Bhagavatam 10:84:13, it is stated Yasyatma Bhuti Kunape Tri Datuke Sadhik Kalatrash Tradishu Bhauma Ijyati Yatirta Bhuti Shalile Nakarhichij Janeshva Bigeshu Saeva Gokaraha. A human being who identifies the body made of three elements with his self. Who can say, you know, somehow elements always become elephants. It's weird. I'm not sure if it was elephants. I wonder if I say elements when I see elephants. Who considers the byproducts of the body to be his kinsmen, who considers the land of birth as worshipable, and who goes to a place of pilgrimage simply to take bath rather than meet men of transcendental knowledge, there is to be considered like an ass or a cow. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally renovated Vrindavan Dham and advised his chief disciples, Rupa and Sanatan, to develop it and open it to attract the spiritual vision of the general populace. So that all these places are there, then people are very inspired, they go around, they do the pilgrimage and everything like that. So it becomes very, very nice.
Maharaj, I find it quite odd that someone like this man, and even some devotees back in the 70s, made that comment that yeah. Vrindavan was a mess.
People make the comment today.
Vrindavan was beautiful.
It was. But, you know, you're under the modes of nature, you see what you're going to see. You know?
I mean, there were no plastic, there was, you know, there were no cars.
No, but it's just like, there was a road out here. Let's take another road. There was a road that if you walked out of, you know, let's say like, you know, Govind Maharaj's place, you come to this road. Nice dust. You go down there. You go through Raman Reti, you go farther down, you hit the old Yamuna path, all this super fine dust. Yeah, then you go and you go around, and in case you got, that would be Pucca, but it'd all be sandstone. So, okay, dust or sand, okay, that works. Then you go down on the beach, then you'd walk up the sand, and then you go around, dust all the way around. Now, is it dust? Right? You know, it's because that's the thing, is that people see as dust as bad. We have the same thing here. People freaked out because, you know, if it got a little wet, they get some mud on the bottom of their feet. And so then they put down all these big, huge, broken bricks. You couldn't walk, but everyone was so satisfied that now we have, you know, we don't have to get our feet dirty.
They still do that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, but they don't break it up. You know, you break it up small, and then you do something.
And it costly money.
Yeah, true. So, the point is for them, dust, an open drain, they've never seen an open drain, they're so much easier to clean like that, that there's a pig running around. And so they're just, they freak out, you know, the monkeys. But that's the whole point, is that in the West, it's not necessarily any cleaner. It's just, one, there's less people, and two, is that it's more hidden. That's all. It's just, in India, you know it's the material world. In the West, they like to think it's not. So, yeah. I mean, there's people today that won't come to India because there's nothing of any value that they can learn from coming here. Nobody here, you know, in other words, they can only see rickshaw wallahs and that. They can't see gentlemen. They can't see the culture. They can't see, they don't have the qualification. What to do. But yeah, but it's just, that's the whole point, is that the modes of nature are such that you can't see. So if you see Vrindavan as something very beautiful, then that's by Krishna's grace, that's Krishna's kindness. You know? So they don't catch moods in that. You know, it's just like you go down, like we were saying, you go down through Raman Reti and that, and generally you turn right. If you turn left, and go just a little bit, then you get a whole far out mood.
Yeah.
Sorry?
Dhanadas Swami, when he puts people, he said, don't take a right, take a left.
Yeah. Yeah, you end up with where Sobari Muni and all those guys. So. And yeah, Govind Maharaj gets on his bike and goes out in the middle of nowhere. You know, places that, holy places you never even heard of. Like that, down these little dirt roads and stuff, and, you know, all very nice.
All glory to pandemic.
Sorry?
All glory to pandemic.
Yeah. He's out there, yeah. Yeah, he hasn't been able to do that since the, you know, the 80s, you know, basically. 70s even. You know, so. Yeah, so it's just, it's a matter of you see what you want to see. Same time, if someone will think the city is a great place, well, everybody else thinks it's not great. And even if you do say it's great, how much of it's great, you know? From this corner here down the street, this many blocks to that place. And then sometimes another cross street like that, and then there's one other place over here, and that's the only place at night. The rest of the place looks like a slum. You know, so that's the way it is. But, you know, these things are there. So that's the whole idea why Lord Chaitanya is instructing, so that one will appreciate and understand, go there, get the mercy of the Dham, and that will it will enhance your devotional service, even if they don't go much, you know. But if you appreciate, then that's good. You know, it's one of the... Is that... Yeah. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally renovated Vrindavan Dham and advised his chief disciples, Rupa and Sanatana, to develop it and open it to attract the spiritual vision of the general populace. At present, there are about 5,000 temples in Vrindavan, and still our society, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, is constructing a huge, magnificent temple for the worship of Lord Krishna and Lord Balaram, along with Radha Krishna and Guru Gauranga. Since there is no prominent Krishna Balaram temple in Vrindavan, we are attempting to construct one so that people will be attracted to Krishna Balaram or Nitai Gaura Chandra. Vrajendra Nandana Jay Sachi Sutta Haila say, Narottam Das Thakur says that Balaram and the son of Maharaj Nanda have invented themselves as Gaura Nitai. To propagate this fundamental principle, we are establishing a Krishna Balaram temple to broadcast to the world that worship of Gaura Nitai is the same as worship of Krishna and Balaram. Although it is very difficult to enter into the Radha Krishna pastimes, most of the devotees of Vrindavan are attracted to the Radha Krishna Leela. However, since Nitai Gaura Chandra are direct incarnations of Balaram and Krishna, we can be directly in touch with Lord Balaram and Lord Krishna through Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu. Those who are highly elevated in Krishna consciousness can enter into the pastimes of Radha and Krishna through the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is said, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna, Nahe Anya. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a combination of Radha and Krishna. Sometimes materialists, forgetting the pastimes of Radha and Krishna Balaram, go to Vrindavan, accept the land's spiritual facilities, and engage in material activity. This is against the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The Prakriti Sahajiyas proclaim themselves Brajavasis or Dhamvasis, but they are mainly engaged in sense gratification. Thus, they become more and more implicated in the materialistic way of life. Those who are pure devotees in Krishna consciousness condemn their activities. The eternal Vrajavasis, like Srup Damodar, did not even come to Vrindavan Dham. Sri Pundarik Vidyanidhi, Sri Haridas Thakur, Sri Vas Pandit, Sri Vananda Sen, Sri Ramananda Rai, Sri Sikhi Mahiti, Sri Madhavi Devi, and Sri Gadadhar Pandit Goswami never visited Vrindavan Dham. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur points out that we have no authorized documents stating that these exalted personalities visited Vrindavan. Nonetheless, we find many non-devotees, Mayavadi sannyasis, Prakriti sahajiyas, fruit of workers, mental speculators, and many others with material motives going to Vrindavan to live. Many of these people go there to solve their economic problems by becoming beggars. Although anyone living in Vrindavan somehow or other is benefited, the real Vrindavan is appreciated only by a pure devotee. So they'll get some benefit from being there. They'll always get benefit. As stated in the Brahma Samhita, Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 538. When one has purified eyes, he can see that Sri Vrindavan and the original Goloka Vrindavan planet in the spiritual sky are identical. So if you're not seeing like that, then we don't have that vision. Like that. The point is...
And then you make a concept.
Yeah, so what, but one must appreciate. That's what it says, so you know that that's there. So you have the right attitude, then it's... Yeah, it said that that's... by Lord Nityananda's grace, when Lord Chaitanya is pleased, one gets the mercy of Lord Nityananda. And then he purifies the heart of material desire. And in that way, then the Dham is revealed. Right? So now you have the Dham. But now what's the point of the Dham? Dham is where the Lord has his pastimes. So now, how are the pastimes revealed? Then, having this mentality, then one can get the mercy of the six Goswamis. Right? By understanding their literature through our Acharya. Then Radha Krishna's pastimes will be revealed. So therefore you have the Dham and then Radha and Krishna. So by the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu, then only you can get the mercy of the Goswamis too, that the Dham gets revealed. I mean that the pastimes get revealed. So that way then it's complete. So, Srila Narottam Das Thakur, Srinivas Acharya, Srila Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, Sri Bhagavan Das Babaji Maharaj, and Srila Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj, and later Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur of Calcutta, always engaged in Nam Bhajana, and certainly did not live anywhere but Vrindavan. Presently, the members of the Hare Krishna movement throughout the world live in materially opulent cities such as London, New York, Los Angeles, Paris, Moscow, Zurich, and Stockholm. However, we are satisfied with following in the footsteps of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and other acharyas. Because we live in the temples of Radha and Krishna and continuously hold Harinam Sankirtana, the chanting of Hare Krishna, we constantly live in Vrindavan and nowhere else. We are also following in the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by attempting to construct a temple in Vrindavan for our disciples throughout the world to visit. Right, so Lord Chaitanya excavated himself and had his main disciples do the same. And so then Prabhupada is saying, follow in his footsteps. Then we're establishing temples there. You know, so there and here in Mayapur. And then everywhere else we're doing it, you know, so that people can get benefits. So at least in some place there's Vrindavan. Mm-hmm. Like that.
You know, Prabhupada was translating these. The temple was under construction.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, because he says we're building. Two sixteen, 282 to 290. Taking this, so in other words, visiting there means visiting under the direction of pure devotees with trying to attain that vision.
Yes.
Otherwise, you saw all the other guys go there, and you get some benefit, but you won't get benefit like how the pure devotees do. So therefore, we go with that attitude. We may not be, but we follow in the footsteps. 216, 282 to 290. Taking this opportunity, Gadadhar Pandit said, just now the 4 months of the rainy season have begun. Like last time. You should therefore spend the next 4 months in Jagannath Puri. That means he left at that Vijay Dasami. And then he went up through Bengal and all the way up, and then spending the time and then coming back. And basically, that took 8 months. You know, because of the crowds and everything like that. So then again, took the opportunity. So, it's rainy season, so then. After remaining here for 4 months, you will be free to do as you like. Actually, no one can stop you from going or remaining. Upon hearing this statement, the devotees present at the lotus... upon hearing this statement, the devotees present at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stated that Gadadhar Pandit had properly presented their desire. Being requested by all the devotees, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu agreed to remain at Jagannath Puri for 4 months. Hearing this, King Prataparudra became very happy. That day, Gadadhar Pandit extended an invitation to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and the Lord took his lunch at his place with the other devotees. No ordinary human being can possibly describe Gadadhar Pandit's affectionate presentation of food, or Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's tasting this food. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performs his pastimes, which are unlimited and unfathomable. Somehow or other, these have briefly been described. It is not possible to describe them elaborately. Although Lord Anantadeva is always describing the pastimes of the Lord with his thousands of mouths, he cannot reach the end of even one of the Lord's pastimes. So even one pastime he can't finish. Mm-hmm. Like that. Because there's so many wonderful points. Praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunath, always desiring their mercy. I, Krishnadas, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps. In his chapter summary of Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, Antikanda chapters 9 through 10, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes, "The Vaishnavas came to Nilachal with all the ingredients and edibles that Mahaprabhu loved to eat in his childhood. And the Lord, who is affectionate to his devotees, accepted lunch at the houses of different devotees when their devotee wives, who were expert cooks, cooked various preparations from the ingredients that they had brought. One day, Advaita Prabhu invited Mahaprabhu for lunch and personally cooked for the Lord. Advaita's wife assisted him by making all the arrangements for cooking. Sri Advaitacharya had the desire to feed Mahaprabhu alone to his heart's satisfaction, and suddenly, by the arrangement of providence, the sannyasis who usually ate with the Lord were separated from him. Thus, Mahaprabhu went alone to the house of Advaita and fulfilled his desire. Since Indra assisted Advaitacharya in his discharge of devotional service to Krishna by sending a storm and rain, Advaitacharya began to offer Indra prayers, considering him a servant of Krishna. Understanding Advaitacharya's heart, Mahaprabhu glorified Advaita by saying that it was not at all astonishing that Indra would follow the order of one whose resolution even Lord Krishna was bound to fulfill. The so-called followers of Advaita who rather than accept Advaitacharya's subordination to Sri Chaitanya, think otherwise, are not fit to be seen by Advaitacharya. When Damodar Pandit returned from Bengal and Mahaprabhu asked him about Mother Sachi's devotional service to Vishnu, the impartial Damodar glorified Mother Sachi as Murti Mati Vishnu Bhakti, the embodiment of devotional service to Lord Vishnu, and described the glories of the word I. Mahaprabhu, who was performing the pastimes of teaching ordinary people, asked Damodar such a question just to teach ordinary persons, people. Inquiries about one's devotional service to Krishna are proper inquiries about someone's well-being. Devotees of Vishnu are certainly wealthy. Mahaprabhu let everyone know that he would not eat at anyone's house unless that person chants 100,000 names of Hari. Therefore, for the sake of feeding Mahaprabhu, many devotees began to chant 100,000 names of Hari. One day when Mahaprabhu asked Sri Keshava Bharati whether jnana or devotional service was superior, Bharatipada replied that devotional service was certainly superior, because exalted personalities like Brahma, Shiva, Narada, Prahlad, Sukadev, Vyas, the four Kumaras, the Pandavas headed by Yudhishthira, Priyavrata, Prithu, Dhruva, Akrura, and Uddhava have all prayed for devotional service at the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. Some of them even begged for devotional service after giving up their previous attachments for jnana. Therefore, the path of devotional service approved by the Mahajanas is the ultimate goal for all living entities and for all time. After hearing the words of Bharati, Mahaprabhu expressed his pleasure and began to dance in ecstasy. One day, when under the order of Sri Advaitacharya, all the devotees began to glorify the names, qualities, and pastimes in the incarnation of Lord Chaitanya. I don't think we'll make it. Yeah. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai.